Your world, your challenges, your faith. When faith within engages the world without, there's power. It's living life from the inside out.
Maybe you noticed right away, or maybe it's taken a little while to see it, but the pandemic is changing our friendships. And today on the Family Life Inside Out podcast, we'll be talking about just that. I'm Martha Manikas Foster, and my guest is Alex Banks, Associate Pastor for the Lockport Alliance Church in Lockport, New York. He has all kinds of touch points with the congregation and the community. He's a husband and father of three. He preaches, shepherds the church's small group ministry, and works with youth. Welcome, Alex, to Inside Out.
Thanks, Martha. It's a pleasure to be here. We love the Family Life Network, listened for a long time, and appreciate the encouragement and hope that you have provided for our family and people all over New York and Pennsylvania.
Well, thank you. Thank you for saying that. I understand that you are an extrovert, and so I'm thinking that this time of physical distancing might be especially uncomfortable for you. What are you seeing happening to the friendships in your life and what's going on in the church for now what has been a year of social distancing because of the pandemic? Do you see friendships changing in quality? Are we losing them outright, do you think?
Well, it's interesting. You nailed it right away. 100%, I am an extrovert. I love being with people, get a lot of energy from being with people. And so this past year has been really tough for me, but it's been tough on all of us. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about it, we've crammed about 10 years worth of history book material into the last 12 months.
Yeah.
You look at months and months and months of things, and you're just like, how can we experience more? But as friendships go, I think there's no doubt that relationships of all kinds have been impacted. I see this in my own children. I see it in the teenagers in our youth group. I've felt it in my own life, and we see it in our church. The hardest part for me and for many that I've talked to through all of this is that there's no specific end date to the pandemic. I think, you know, if somebody said, you know, Alex, if you can do this until June 6th, then you'll be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But because there's no end date, we have to adjust. We have to kind of be resilient and overcome. And I think that that adjustment we're seeing all over the place, and especially in our friendships, I don't think we're losing them outright, but they are changing for the simple fact that the world's a different place. I mean, I'd never heard of social distancing or anything like that just a year ago. But over the course of the past year, that's been something that we've heard over and over and over again. And these restrictions on gatherings, it's made it really hard for people like me who it comes pretty naturally, relationships and being with people and making those, it's made that hard. And for those who have a difficult time with those types of things, it makes it even harder.
Sure.
I think we've had to rely on lots of things that we maybe hadn't before, technology being one, to maintain that connection. For me, I can tell you that the hardest part is if you look at the friendships that I have in my life, I can tell you I became a better friend with this person because of these experiences that we shared together.
Mm-hmm.
We went on a mission trip. We helped each other move.
Sure.
We did something stupid together that we can laugh about now.
Yeah.
But all of those things are different because those things aren't happening now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can remember early on in our marriage, one of the first couples that we became friends with, one of the things they said is, a friend is someone you do things with, which sounds really simple, but if you don't do things with people, something can be lost. They don't tend to grow. But perhaps that's the direction that we're going to go in our conversation, because I'm wondering if you think that the different kinds of friendships are being impacted differently. I mean, do you find that the more casual friendships are being impacted differently than the long-term friends that, you know, because you have some history, there might be a difference in how that's impacted?
I think so. I think that different types of friendships are being impacted differently.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, if not all people, are feeling physically distant from everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've seen a drop-off, a drastic drop-off in new relationships forming.
Sure. Yeah.
But I do think that there is a difference between long-term friendships and the casual acquaintances. Casual acquaintances are the people that you interact with and become friends with because of the things that happen together. I think of those parents who get up every Saturday morning really early and travel with their kids to play sports in different places, and they have that shared experience. They do things together. They're friends because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Or people play cards with one another every Friday night. Or I play soccer with this guy, so we're friends because of those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those types of relationships are taking a beating. Those friendships struggle because that common bond or shared interest is gone.
Right.
Right. But with longer-term friendships, those closer friendships, I've seen both. In my own life and in the church, I've seen some of those relationships struggle, but I've also seen some of those thrive. Because those are the types of people that know you well. Those are the types of people that you can count on. Those are the types of people that you call in an emergency. You can talk to them about things. You can openly share what you're struggling with. And yeah, there's physical distance, but I've spoken with a lot of people who feel that those types of friendships have grown deeper, stronger, because in the midst of something like this that we've never experienced before, in the midst of a trial, in the midst of adversity, we need each other. We need to bounce those ideas off of each other. We need the support and encouragement from one another. And so we're talking more regularly.
Mm-hmm. We're finding a way. With those friendships, we're finding a way to be connected, I think I hear you saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me just take a moment and reset the conversation for those who just joined us. You're listening to the Inside Out podcast on family life. I'm talking today about how the pandemic is changing our friendships, and my guest is Lockport Alliance Church Associate Pastor Alex Banks. Alex, so I'm wondering what you see as the consequences of the changes in our friendships. Some of them, as you say, are really taking a hit because we don't see the people, you know, when we're on the sidelines of the soccer game, for instance, the other parents, but other ones you say may be even deeper. So what do you generally see as the consequences in these changes?
Yeah, and one of the words that people don't like to say a lot is change, because change brings about new things and inevitable consequences, good and bad. I think maybe the things that we'll see over the next bit of time or some of the consequences is that our friendship circles get smaller. Our friendship circles tend to maybe diminish a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think people could be guilty of maybe not being willing to do the work that it takes to invest in others because, hey, you know, in 2020, it was a weird year. It was hard, but I survived. I made it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked with people who felt that way. I don't need to invest. I don't need to work on friendships because I made it. I survived. And the question I challenged them with, and I challenge anyone who was thinking that way, is, do we just want to survive? Do we just want to make it through and get by? Because as believers, we know that we were made for so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that God designed us is for community, right? I need you. You need me. We need each other because you have gifts that I don't have, and I have gifts that you don't have, and we can make a great team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that this pandemic has been such a challenge, has made things so hard, is because the cry of our hearts is to be in relationship with others. We may not verbalize that. We may not say that out loud, but that is the cry of our hearts. And we're just being told that that's not okay right now. We shouldn't be together. We should be apart. We should be distant.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's why we're seeing the pandemic take such a toll on people's mental health. And we're seeing abuse, physical, emotional, alcohol, substance, all sorts of things on the rise because the deepest cry of our heart is not being met.
Mm-hmm.
But there's good news.
Well, that's good.
Exactly. If you leave it there, that's always trouble.
Right.
But we don't know the day when this pandemic reaches its end, but we know that there will be.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go back to activities that we've done. Things will open up. I am looking forward to going to a movie. It's been a long time.
I know.
old relationships will come back. New ones will form based on new experiences, new goals, new activities that we're looking for. I think it's really hard for us now because we're in the middle of a struggle. And sometimes when you're walking through a trial, it's really hard to see the big picture. That we have a God who is in control, that we have a God who's on the throne, that although this seems like a long time, it is a relatively minor chunk of history. It's just a blip on the screen.
Mm.
And if we can kind of look that way, I think that helps us, that we are a part of something bigger and that life is bigger than this trial that we're walking through. Now, I do think that friendships have taken a hit. I've experienced it. I've seen it. I've talked with people. But on a much more positive note, I think that we'll be able to kind of bring that back. We'll be able to restore those once this is over.
That's good to hear. Yes.
Yeah. You know, from personal experience here at the church, I've been able to see our relationships bounce back in the limited gatherings we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like many others, we completely closed the church and did online-only activities from March to July of last year. Mm-hmm. And we opened the church with restrictions and limitations again on our Sunday services. And it was fascinating in July to see those relationships bounce back. And it's amazing to me as a pastor, just the 30-second conversation, those two-minute interactions on the way out the door, mm-hmm. how they can revitalize or restart those relationships that maybe had been stalled. Mm-hmm. And it was awkward at first for people. It's funny to see those conversations, and that I don't know if I should fist bump you. I don't know how to.
Right.
I don't know how to do these things. But but I think if people are willing to put in the effort, relationships can be restored, mm-hmm. and you'll see that they'll look different. Maybe not everybody that you spent time with before will be back in your social circle. Maybe new people will jump in. But I would say that the best is yet to come, and we have to take ourselves out of this focused thought on this is it. When we're focused on the trial, we forget the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. Well, wise words, wise words. And along the way there, when you talked about if we are focused on just surviving, that is a narrow definition of surviving. We have biologically, physically survived, but so much of what makes life sweet and so much of our what we need personally and what we give to others that they need, that's the part that's not as easily available right now. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So how do you think people are feeling in general about the changes if we're grieving? And could you talk a little bit about why we might be grieving? But if we're grieving or angry or feeling isolated, how might a Christian have a way of addressing this that is unique, that those who don't believe in Jesus Christ, those who don't claim to have the Spirit in them, that they may not have, that they don't have those tools? I know there's many layers to what I just asked.
Yeah, there is. And I would say I have spoken with people who have all those feelings, mm-hmm. people who are angry, people who are grieving, people who are feeling isolated. You know, I'm sad because I can't be with people. Mm-hmm. I'm angry because I couldn't be with my loved one as they were hurting or sick or even dying. Mm-hmm. I couldn't be there. I'm lonely. I'm so tired of looking at only these four walls in my house. And all of those are very natural feelings. If you feel that way, I wouldn't tell you that you're wrong to feel them because I understand. Grief is one that surprises people often when it comes to thinking about this. Well, why are you grieving?
Mm-hmm.
Well, grief is a natural response to loss. Mm-hmm. People grieve losing someone forever, but there has been a loss in the last year. You've lost time, you've lost those relationships, and so grief is very natural there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, however, as a follower of Jesus, it's really dangerous to live our lives if we base everything on our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we base our decisions on how we're feeling at any given moment, it doesn't always yield the best results.
Mm-hmm.
I think about in the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things. And where do the feelings come from? Well, this is what my heart tells me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes good intentions are very dangerous. And whatever we're feeling, whatever we're walking through, we need to remember that we are minor characters in a major story.
Wow.
That we are not the main character of our story, and everything that we do is about God and His glory. And so, yes, it's natural to have those things, but we can't let those take our joy.
Mm-hmm.
We're studying on Sunday mornings the book of Philippians at church.
Okay.
We're talking about joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Apostle Paul wrote this book, which is a book full of joy. And he wrote it from prison.
Yes.
Which is not the most joyful place
right.
that I can think of. And I was thinking about friendships. And as an extrovert, friendships make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Doing things with people makes me happy. But there is a difference between happiness and joy, right? Happiness is mm-hmm. based on temporary situations, my circumstances, where I am, what's happening around me. And we can be happy and we can be sad and we can have all of those things. But joy is based on something much bigger than ourselves. And we can have that joy because we know that we serve a God who's in control. And we know that because He's in control, He promises to eventually make all things right.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the middle of a trial, in the middle of adversity, in the middle of the pandemic, in the middle of those feelings of loneliness and anger and grief, because we know who God is and that He's in control, we can continue to worship him over that worry.
Thank you so much. I'm reminded that in other times before the pandemic, when it seemed like there was something large I had no control over and it was diminishing my life in some way, or more especially the lives of people I loved, frequently it was the Psalms that were especially important. They brought both comfort and an awareness. I wasn't the first one to go through something like this. So I know as a pastor that you would have something to say about the Psalms too, I'm sure.
Absolutely. I love the Psalms because to me that shows real emotion. Mm. In the Psalms, if you read them, people are, they're crying out, they're grieving, they're angry, they're mad, mm-hmm. they're excited. There's all sorts of emotions and feelings there, and I appreciate that the Lord has those for us. Two Psalms, I would say, have helped me tremendously over the last year, and I hope I can share them with you this morning because I hope that somebody listening will find the peace and encouragement that I have.
Yeah, please.
Psalm 34 has been a great one for me, specifically verse 17 and 18. Mm-hmm. And it says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." For me, I found great peace there because what that tells me is that God is with me. There's mm-hmm. never a place where I am that God is not there also. That God is close to me when I'm hurting, that God delivers me from hard things, that he will walk with me in those, that he hears me, that he cares for me, that he loves me.
Amen.
Another psalm that maybe many of your listeners are familiar with is Psalm 46. And I would encourage them to read the entire thing. Psalm 46 has been a great help to me. It's been a great help to our church staff. We've read it many times mm-hmm. over the past year. I'll share just the first two verses and then verse 10 because they have meant the world to me. It says this. It says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea." Verse 10 mm-hmm. says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth."
Mm-hmm.
And for me, thinking about how believers can handle this and how believers can handle anything that the world throws at us is a four-letter word that we use to cope with everything. And that word is hope.
Yay.
You know, hope as it's used in the Bible isn't that wishful thinking that we usually think of when we use the word. You know, hope conveys great confidence, great assurance based on the promises of God, that we can deal with anything because we have hope, that we can deal with changes in friendship, that we can deal with these momentary struggles, that we can deal with heartache, that we can deal with this global pandemic because we have hope. And hope is so important, and hope is the difference in how we face the world.
Mm. Well, thank you. That's very encouraging. That's very encouraging. There are ways to reset, like our hearts and minds, to remember this hope. I'm wondering if, on a kind of nuts and bolts way of thinking, are there practical ways that we can hold on to and nurture the relationships that we value? Are there ways that you've seen that? And if the answer involves technology, do you see strategies that can help with friends and family that are not tech savvy? Because I do see that many times the suggestions are, well, do this Zoom call. And a number of the people who feel isolated are people who that's just not a natural go-to.
For sure. I think that's true. I want to share a story with you, just an illustration that I thought of as I was out on a walk the other day. Yeah, I've lived in my house here in Lockport for 6 years.
Okay.
And down the street and around the corner, there's a car that sits in this driveway. It has never moved in the 6 years that we've lived
there. Wow.
It's filthy. It's covered in tree sap and grime, and it's got four flat tires.
Sure.
It's going to need a new battery to go anywhere if that's going to do the work for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about our church van, right? The smart thing would be to not abandon the car. Our church van has not been used much in the last year, just based on everything. We're not doing things together.
Right.
But even though we're not using it, we still start it. Mm-hmm. We still drive it around the parking lot. We still make sure that it runs.
Mm-hmm.
We do something to ensure that it doesn't become a useless hunk of metal sitting in the driveway.
Sure, sure.
And the same thing is true with friendships. They're okay. easier to keep going with some sort of regular maintenance, some sort of regular communication. I think that technology helps, certainly, but it's not the only way. Especially after the year that we've had, we're fatigued with technology. We're tired of it.
Yes.
My kindergartners go to school on a screen.
Wow.
We work from home. We scroll social media. We watch movies to pass the time. The last thing that we want is more technology.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do think there are pieces of technology that help. Zoom is great. Skype is great. There's apps like House Party that we've used that have been lots of fun when we can't be together.
Mm-hmm.
But phone calls go a long way. I told our teenagers the other day that there are these things on the phone that you can actually dial numbers and talk to somebody and hear their voice. And that's so old school to many people, but
right.
it goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
I've done some writing of cards and handwritten letters over the past months, and it's so much easier to type things out for me, and my hand hurts after a while, but
mm-hmm.
they're so special to receive.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone loves getting mail, and
mm-hmm.
I love getting mail that's not a bill, so I feel
right.
that most people are probably the same.
I bet.
Someone I follow on social media was talking about church, but I think it applies to friendships as well. He says, in the same way that you can't raise a child or do marriage over the internet, you can't do church online. The internet is a bridge to the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the real thing itself. And yes, technology is helpful, but it does not replace the same thing. It's a bridge,
mm-hmm.
but we can't let that replace it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say as the weather gets warmer, thankfully spring is on the way.
Yes, it is.
we need to find ways to do things safely together, find ways to keep relationships alive, find ways to encourage one another. You know, when this whole thing started, we saw the very best in people.
Right.
We saw creativity. We saw love. We saw care, concern.
Mm-hmm.
We celebrated with people who were doing great things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a year, and we're tired of these things. We're tired of the way that the world is. But don't lose sight of those things just because it's been so long.
Mm-hmm.
I'm admittedly not the most creative person in the world. I don't have new ideas or fresh ideas. But I would challenge you to use the gifts that God has given you to be a blessing to your friends and neighbors. We need each other.
Mm-hmm.
We need friendship. We need community. And so find ways to use the gifts and the passion and the time and the talent that God has given you to be a blessing to those around you
mm-hmm.
and to those friendships that you have.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I was just thinking that this year, for the very first time, I have been since Christmas kind of seeking out people in my life that I usually write to once a year and developing a handwritten correspondence. So I agree with you. Getting something other than a bill, something that's targeted to you, that's really joy producing. So thank you.
Yeah. And you have to be intentional about it. You have to think it through. But I think that's what helps relationships go. When I know that somebody is thinking about me or praying for me or I've crossed their mind, I think that makes a difference. It makes me feel valued. It makes me feel special.
Mm-hmm.
And if that works for me, I'm sure that works for
mm-hmm.
others as well. So we just have to be intentional about that and take the time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Thank you for all of your insight and for your suggestions. And thank you so much for joining me here today on Inside Out.
Oh, it was a privilege. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. My guest has been Alex Banks, Associate Pastor for the Lockport Alliance Church in Lockport, New York. You'll find the church online at lockportalliance.org. One word, lockportalliance.org. I'm Martha Manikas Foster with Inside Out on Family Life.